Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Joe, we've been telling people about what's happening with them bringing in all of these illegal aliens, but about the children. Okay, now I know that people are saying, well, the FBI, they just rescued all those children. Well, I'm at the point where I can hardly ever believe anything anymore that's coming from the mainstream media. I know that President Trump, when he was president, he set up a special unit to do that, to go into the dumps and to bring down and actually use some undercover military to rescue these children. The Democratic Communist Party, folks, and I'm telling you, Hollywood, you listen to me. Hollywood, the entire Democratic Party is flush. They're flush. They're flush with pedophiles. They're all about pedophilia. If you go to Obama, you go to Biden, you go to all of these they're flush with pedophilia. Now, what is happening is they're bringing in these children that are coming across, many of them coming in by themselves, and what is happening? They're being bussed. The government is taking them, and there's people waiting for them in these cities. Now, they're supposed to be meeting relatives or somebody, but that's not what's happening. Complete strangers are there, complete total strangers, and we're going to play. These children are being used. This is human trafficking. And the Biden, and listen, it would not surprise me a bit to find out if the Biden family crime cartel is making a huge profit off of these children. It would not. They've done every other criminal activity. So go ahead, and we're going to play a clip. Listen to this.
Now, you might have heard the story of how illegal immigrants were flown to suburban New York in the middle of the night. Many of you might have the question, who's funding this? And which company is doing that? Well, that company is called MVM Inc., and they're doing that with your taxpayer dollars. Now, today we have a very special guest. We have a whistleblower employee who's going to be talking to us about how this same company is shipping migrant children throughout the U.S. So thank you so much for joining us today. Just to get started, for those of us in the audience who might not know what MVM Inc. is, can you explain to us what your company is and what they do?
It's a company that focuses on getting, they call it UCs, unaccompanied children, unaccompanied minors, getting them from point A to point B. And most of the time, point A is from a shelter all throughout Texas and all across the country. And point B is with a sponsor. Most of the time, it's a family member, but lately the numbers are so crazy. There's no longer family members, it's family friends, people who are willing to take them in, and a lot of the times they don't even know each other. So my job is to show up, I get a blue folder that tells me where I'm going, who's my partner, and where we're going to be picking kids up. And my job is to be with them on the airplanes, be with them on the buses, sometimes it's buses, and sometimes it's charter planes. When it's charter planes, we move anywhere between 200 to 300 kids on one plane. It won't just be one plane. It will be 2-3 planes at a time that leave.
I do know that when we start off, we'll drop off in Texas. So we'll go from one point in Texas to another. And then these same charter planes will go to New York. We'll go to California. We'll go to Washington. And then they'll finish off in Oregon or another state nearby. So it's not just one state. It's not just one drop-off. You go to one destination, drop off, the kids are getting off there, and then you continue on.
So if you could give us an estimate, how many children per month do you think are being moved just in the Texas area?
Well, like I said, it's between all the offices. It's in the thousands. I say 8 to 10. But that's in 1 week, so in a month, I would say around 40,000, 30,000 kids.
So that's a lot of kids. Can you talk to us about the process from, again, pickup all the way to where you're dropping these kids off to? Can you kind of explain to us how that works?
So in the morning, we will meet in a parking lot around 5 in the morning, a little bit beforehand. by the time we have the kids, you know, the buses, there are screens where we just fold them down and you can't see inside the bus. And normally the airports we go to, they're not big city airports, and normally it's dead and there's just us and there's no one else.
And you actually provided us with some documentation here. Can you explain to us what this paper is? You know, when do you receive this documentation? What is this?
So that document, we receive it from those who are hired to house the kids. Mm-hmm. And that's their way of saying, hey, we released the kid to you guys. We passed it on to you guys, the kid on to you guys. Now it's your guys' job to pass this paper onto the sponsor. And this paper, what it is, it holds a form of social security number for the kids.
We're going to pick it up there in a minute, folks, but the phones aren't ringing. I've got to be after you. This is our pledge week. And so those numbers again are 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110. We've been telling you about what's been going on. We've been telling you how the Democratic Communist Party, they're flush. And the Biden crime cartel family has been working hand in hand with the drug smugglers, the drug cartels. They're bringing all of those deadly, deadly drugs into this country. People are dying. They're dying left and right. But the fake news media will not. They will do whatever they're told. They will keep the story from you. They will not bring that information to you. They will do whatever they can to help the Democratic Communist Collective stay in power.
Fentanyl is up 203% this month.
Yep. All right, we'll be back. Let's pick it up from here, okay?
It holds information regarding the child, where they're going to live. And this is also used as an ID to go in with, to register into schools wherever they're going. A lot of times when we arrive to where it is they're going, the sponsor will say, hey, my sister was able to get a driver's license in L.A., they were able to get a driver's license in New York City with this paper. Do you have it? And that's the paper that they're talking about.
And how are the kids being given these papers? I mean, when they come across the border, do they have identification? What's going on with that?
A lot of the times the kids will tell us that they threw their papers away because they stand a better chance of coming into the country without the papers. And it's different stories, but that's the one we hear the most right now. And that ID is whatever information they gave them at the border.
So when you land in these cities, you're meeting these sponsors that are there to pick up the children.
Correct. And when we get to these cities, we're told to wait for them in baggage claim.
Regarding the sponsors as well, like how are the children tied to these sponsors?
Yes, so the children give the name to the people at the shelters, and the shelters will reach out to this person. And then they have their process that is very easy to, how can I say it? If when they look into the person, if they see they're not related, they don't care. They'll prove it, and they send the kid off to this person. And the sponsor will tell us, oh, I'm not a family member. I'm not the kid's father. I'm not the kid's mother. I'm not blood related. It's just a friend. And it makes you wonder, like, what do you mean just a friend? Like, who are you? But we're not allowed to bring these things up. As long as it's the person on the paper, as long as it's the person who shows up and gives you the proper documentation, then we leave the child. So when we first started doing this, they were always family members. And a lot of the times now, kids will say it, or we find out ourselves that they're not related. Or in the beginning, we can easily tell that it was the family because they would cry, they would hug them. But now it's no more crying, no more hugging. It's just, hey, I'm here to pick you up, and that's it. They won't look at the kid. They will be upset that they have to show up to the airport. Sometimes we're like, hey, you're only 20, 30 minutes away. We're traveling with the kid all day, and we brought him far away for you. And they'll still say, hey, he's taking time out of
my day that I have to come get them. And it just, it's weird. It's very weird and sad and frustrating because you get to know the kid throughout the day and you want to be happy for him. But then when you get to where you're going and you're like, this is the person that they approved, like, it's kind of upsetting. I'm guessing they're overwhelmed and they can't find family members. And if they can't find family members, they want to get these kids out of the shelter as soon as possible so that they will approve anybody that the kids say, hey, I want to go with him or I want to go with her. There was this one time in San Antonio where it looked like it was a lady in her 30s and she was accepting a boy that was 17, 16 years old. And then she was also accepting a boy that was not related to them, to other boy, but they still somehow had the same sponsor. And, you know, things run through your head and you're like, hey, if they're not related, how do they meet? And, you know, a lot of the times we hear, oh, through Facebook. I was talking to her through Facebook, through social media, and it's kind of creepy.
You said that you guys are so overwhelmed right now, overwhelmed to the point where MVM Inc. is mass hiring people and they're not being properly trained, which is leading to negligence when it comes to identifying these children and their sponsors properly. Can you talk to us about that?
It's one of the emails that I showed you. It's an email where they're pinpointing that, hey, you guys are accepting stuff that was IDs that were not approved. You guys are letting these kids go with people who are not on the list, who were not approved. And sometimes there are people who are not even on any documents for the child. And it tends to happen where these sponsors will show up and they will say, I'm here for the kid, but it's really the sister or a neighbor because the sponsor didn't feel like going. And these kids are being sent off with neighbors, with people who are nowhere near related to these kids. And it's just a mess right now. None of the rules that we're supposed to follow are being followed. And that's why that email, that notice went out saying, hey, you guys need to pick it up and you guys need to accept the proper documentation. Well, I want to say the biggest thing is what's going on right now is too many border crossings, too many kids, and these companies will take all this money from taxpayer money in the millions, but they won't do the hiring process the right way. A lot of people get hired and their background hasn't even come in yet. They'll get emails a month or 2 months into the job saying, hey, you need to do your background. And it's crazy because, you know, it could be a child offender, it could be a bad person, and they have access to kids every day.
So just to recap here too, because I want to make sure I understand you correctly, because the border is so overwhelmed, because there's so many children, they're mass hiring these people on top of them not being properly trained and not vetting the sponsors that they're passing these children off to. The escorts as well, a part of this company, also aren't even getting background checks.
Correct. And there's no proper vetting right now saying, hey, these kids are really related to this person. No, it could be a child offender or a sex offender wanting to take one of these kids into the homes, and the government will let it happen.
And that's what I wanted to ask too. How does somebody become a sponsor for one of these children? How are these sponsors approved, like you said?
As long as the kid says, hey, this is my family member, they can lie and say it's my aunt or my uncle. They won't care. They'll prove it. Supposedly the rule is they have to fingerprint. The sponsor has to do fingerprints, and a lot of the times they do, but we can tell in the packets that they give us when we pick up the kids, a lot of the times we can tell, hey, this person just got approved and they're not even the relative, or they don't even know the child. We see things, and we do this often to the point where we can tell they don't know each other at all.
And why would you want to sponsor a migrant child? I mean, what are the benefits of sponsoring one of these children?
The kids will say, hey, they promised us $2,000 after 2 or 3 months of being with my sponsor. And I can't wait till they buy me this with that money. And the sponsors they know that the flights are paid for. They know that the money's coming in. they will mention these things, and it's very upsetting to us.
And who's paying them these thousands of dollars?
The federal contractors that are receiving taxpayer money.
And for MVM, again, you had shown me this article that they had previously signed a federal contract for $136 million back in 2021. So that money coming from, again, the taxpayers is going towards funding these children throughout the U.S.
Correct. Flights, food, I want to say it ranges from $2,000 to $5,000 to pay for a trip of two co-workers and two kids. But a lot of the times these groups are five kids, three co-workers, and it's multiple offices.
Democratic Mayor Eric Adams of New York is upset because he's saying Republican governors, specifically Greg Abbott in Texas, are busing migrants to New York. Is it the Republican governors that are to blame for these buses of migrants, or is it, you know, companies like yours that are flying all of these migrants to New York?
No, it's us. It's us. We've been doing it for since Biden came into the administration, a little bit before that. And it's picked up way a lot when Biden came into office. And we tend to come to these places when it's less packed. You know, we have arrival times of 11 p.m. at night, 1 in the morning. Sometimes we get flown to a city nearby where there's a smaller airport, and then we drive into the city. That way no one sees us. We'll drive in a bus, a charter bus, in vans, and we try to avoid the public. But we do this, I want to say, between all the offices in Texas. They're all over the country, but in Texas is where it's most busy. We move anywhere between 2,000 and 5,000 kids a week. There's charter flights out of El Paso, and then there's smaller groups between 30 to 40 workers who will take anywhere between 100 to 200 kids. And this is in El Paso, Pecos, Texas, and McAllen, Texas.
And again, this is all being funded federally via taxpayer dollars.
It is funded by the government, but we take orders from ORR, the Office of Refugee Resettlement. And they're the ones who let the kids come into the country, go with the families. There's two contracts. So there's a ICE contract with our company, and there's an ORR contract. ICE contract is for deportations, but there's not a lot of deportations going on right now. So the most busiest work is with ORR. Health and Human Services, HHS.
And is that why you originally got into this? Because you thought that you were going to be helping kids out and, you know, helping them achieve a better life?
Correct. And at first, it was going great. But ever since the Biden administration, as time's gone by, it's a mess. There's no way of explaining what's going on here except that it's a big mess. There's no way of knowing, like, where to start and make it better, because we're not getting any help.
How do you know that these kids coming across the border are actually kids?
There's no way of knowing. A lot of the times they got more facial hair than I do. They got tattoos. And the kids will say, hey, that kid threatened me in there, but he also mentioned that he's not the age that he says he is. And the kids talk amongst themselves, and they know who to stay away from.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. This has been such an eye-opening interview, and again, just an insight into what's really going on behind the scenes regarding where taxpayer dollars are going to, regarding where these children are going to, how they're being improperly given to random adults throughout the United States. Thank you for being brave enough to speak out regarding what's happening.
Alrighty, we see that Scott in Nebraska pledges 200, and Jim Randolph pledges, and Massachusetts pledges 400, Marv in Arkansas pledges 200, William in Hartfield pledges 100, Dusty in Largo, Florida pledges 50, and the one lady pledged. We had another lady out there she upped her pledge 100 to make it 300 from Manhattan. And so, there you go. So right now, we need, I think I'm Okay, wait a minute. Jim did... Okay, so I'll be telling you, but I think we're right around 3,000, what we need right now. We're down about... Jim and Mass did 600. Thank you, Jim. All right, folks. We have approximately 30 minutes. Approximately 30 minutes to raise $3,000. We got to raise $3,000 in 30 minutes. So help us out, please. Help us. Now, understanding why, let me give those numbers, Joe. 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. You know what, Joe? Those children, when I think about it, you know, you don't want to think about what's happening with those children. It's not a good thing at all. And so would you do this? Would you lead a prayer? And you folks out there all across this country, believe me, when God's Word, the Bible says there's power in prayer, it means that. Now, if all of your prayers out there just helped one child, set one child free from these people, would it be worth it? Yeah, it would. Joe, would you leave the people all across this country, folks, in a prayer to protect the children, to protect the children, that God would hedge them around about? Because I'm going to tell you remember what Jesus said? You'd be better off to have a millstone hung around your neck and thrown in the sea than to harm one of these. And these people, they're using these children. The Democratic Communist Party is flush with pedophile. They're flush with pedophiles. And they in fact, they want to change the name from pedophilia, okay? They want to give it another name like choice sexual, you know, younger people, or, you know, they want to give it a name that makes it more palatable to do what they're doing to molest these children. But go ahead, Joe.
We know these children, these beautiful children, are made in your image, made in the image of God. And we know from your precious word that these children are yours until they're old enough to choose for themselves whether they will accept you or reject you. And, Lord, the shame I feel for this country that this has been going on, and so few of our leaders that we have elected or we have allowed to remain in power because of our ignorance or apathy, that this has been going on. And I just know up in heaven you are terribly, terribly disappointed with this nation for many things, for the murder of the children.
We need 2340.
What's happening to these precious children that are being sent across and sold and traded and used and abused. Lord, that you would just protect them, that you would help those who are trying to rescue them and increase their knowledge and ability to save these children a hundredfold, that people would start being aware and speaking out and calling the police, reporting things that don't look right, that, Lord, that you would just do whatever it be thy will to change the situation, that we could get rid of this horrible blight upon this country and upon our nation. And we just, Lord, that these precious children, it causes so many of us such great pain. You have to look at our hearts and realize we're hurting for them, and we know you're hurting because they're your children. Lord, bless them in every conceivable way possible. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Very good. Thanks, Joe. The folks out there, I pray that all of you continue. Pray for the children and keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. If you see things that look suspicious, don't be afraid to check them out, because they're, again, you know, they're taking, they're trafficking these children. They're using them in all kinds of horrible ways. And you won't hear any of that on NBC, ABC, or CBS, okay? All righty, 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. All right, we have Anonymous, in the name of Jesus, just pledged 25. And we have Jennifer, Minnesota, pledges 50. And we thank you, Anonymous. We thank you, Jennifer. And we have Carmen. Okay, Ryan in Michigan, 200. And Carmen in Connecticut, right? Is that Connecticut? Yeah. Pledges 125. Thank you. Thank you. All righty, folks.
I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians in chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7. It says this: "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver." God's saying, you know, you're going to reap what you sow, and if you sow mightily, you'll reap the same way. He says also in the book of Luke that, "For with the same measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." In other words, you're not going to be able to outgive God. He's going to see if you're giving to his work, you're going to be able to continue. He said he'll see to that you can trust him on that. And that's one of those things where God tests our faith to see, do we really believe in him, or do we believe him at his word?
All righty, very good. Joe, we work at this 7 days a week. 7 days a week we work trying to do the Lord's work and get the truth out there. And so, and after working at it, and I mean we work hard. Last night we pledged 1,000. I'm going to pledge another 1,000 from Doers of the Word Church tonight. And I'm hoping that I can get a couple people to match that pledge. If I could just get a couple people to match that pledge of 1,000 out there tonight, folks, and help us continue to bring you what you won't get in elsewhere. Understanding why Deep State is terrified of Trump's documents. Let me start. This is an article by Larry Johnson. Joe, let me start by suggesting you read the excellent comprehensive analysis by Sundance at the Conservative Treehouse. I can sum up the Trump documents very succinctly. The documents show that there was a coordinated effort by the CIA and the FBI and the DOD starting in the summer of 2015 to interfere with the 2016 election. Part of this effort involved using the NSA-produced intelligence. Oliver Stone's movie, Snowden, has a scene which accurately describes what the NSA was collecting and how it could be used. When the conspiracy started in the summer of 2015 to interfere in the 2016 election on behalf of the Hillary Clinton by the leadership of the CIA, the FBI, and the DOD, Donald Trump was not the only target. Few believed at that time that Trump had a snowball's chance in the raging inferno of hell to win the nominations, much less the presidency. There were active searches for compromising intel on all of the leading Republicans and candidates, including Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and even on Bernie Sanders, who was no Republican by any chance. The CIA, with the knowledge of the Director of National Intelligence, worked with the British counterparts starting at the summer of 2015 to collect intelligence on Republicans and at least one Democrat candidate, John Brennan, who was probably hoping that his proactive steps to help the Hillary Clinton campaign would ensure him taking over as DNI in the new Clinton regime. Regardless of the motives, the CIA enlisted the British intelligence agency community to start gathering intelligence on most major Republican candidates, and believe it or not, on Bernie Sanders. Yeah, Hillary was worried, very worried about Bernie Sanders. The initial phase of intelligence gathering goes beyond opposition research. The information being gathered identified the key personnel in each campaign and identified the people outside the United States receiving their calls and their texts and their emails. The information was turned into intelligence reports that then were passed back to the United States intel community as liaison reporting. This was not put into normal classified channels. This intelligence, Joe, was put into an SAPIE special access program. Joe, remember on the night that Trump won in 2016, remember we were telling people then, we warned them before that, that there was going to be election fraud. Remember, we warned them that Marky Zuckerberg had said he's going to spend $15 billion and he could beat Trump, and he did his best, okay? And then we told him that they learned a lesson, they learned what they have to do, and you're going to see the election of 2020 to be the most corrupt election in the history of the world, and it was, wasn't it?
It was, and it was like 400 billion, what was it, millions? I can't even remember how much, a huge amount of money he poured in, and they said the money he put in to get all those Democrats registered and through foul means was enough to swing the election. So he was good, carried out his promise to get back at Trump. You know how we always talk about how the Democrats lie? Here's a headline. Manchin admits Inflation Reduction Act won't tame inflation for Americans anytime soon. He said after he signed, Biden signed the act, that it would take some time before all these investments, they're kind of hedging what time, they're talking maybe years. It won't immediately temper inflation, and it may take quite some time. Look at how they hedge their words. Quite some time for this to work. In other words, in two or three years from now, you won't remember the Inflation Reduction Act. Most Americans have very short-term memories for political things. There'll be so many things happen, you'll forget what they said. But basically, here again, they've lied to you. It was all about the act was to inflation reduction. It is all about the green movement. It is about consolidation of power, government giving favors, and helping bring power to the Democrat Party, period. And if anything, it's going to increase your inflation. And right now, folks, did you know the United States is the worst performer out of the G7 nations? We are doing worse than France, Italy, Canada, you name it, all those countries that form the G7. We are in the worst shape of all. And they try and tell you we're having zero inflation and we're not in recession. But the rest of the world says we are.
All right, very good. We want to say that, Rob in New Jersey pledges 80. I believe that's Gary and Parma pledges 75. Okay, Jerry pledges 75. Judy in Ohio pledges 20, and she needs prayer. And so I don't know what her situation because she just lost her husband. Alrighty, and then you have so we're going to ask a prayer too because we have another prayer request too. Mary Lou. Let me see, where are we at? Okay. So we are down to right now. We need. Let me see from the. At 38. All righty.
While you're doing the math, I want to remind the people that many hands lighten the load. If hundreds of you out there would donate $20, it would make a huge difference. And there, we've got millions of listeners out there.
Right, Joe. Right now, we need 2,300. We need 20, and we've got 15 minutes to 2,300, 2,300. Now, we've got these two prayers requests. Let me pray for this Judy in Ohio. I don't know the situation, but I'm just going to hold her up, Lord. You know, Judy.
God does.
She lost her husband, and so we just want to hold her and her situation up, and Father, and just ask Lord God that you would intercede on her behalf, Lord. And that you would be a comforter, a provider, and be especially a comforter at this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. And, Lord, Mary Lou is an elderly woman, Lord, and she is going to have eye surgery. And she's asked us to pray for her because she's very elderly, and that she comes through her eye surgery. So we want to hold Mary Lou up and ask, Lord, that you would bless Mary Lou in every area. And again, Lord God, that you would be with her as she goes through her eye surgery. And Lord, that it comes out very, very well for her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We have something similar happened in our little church. One of the oldest members of the church having eye surgery, and it would either save her sight or she would be blind. And being old and blind is a very frightening thing.
Yeah. All righty. Okay, Celeste in Michigan pledges 100. Thank you, Celeste. All righty, folks. We need 2,300. 2,300 is where we're at. So, again, I'm hoping that we could match. Joe, would you ask and pray and ask the folks that we would get at least two matches for that 1,000 that we donated, the 1,000 that I pledged, that we would get at least two matches for that. Would you do that? Pray and ask the folks. We really need to. Folks, we're here for the cause. We don't get paid for doing this. We're here because, believe me, as we get closer to the Lord's return and we get closer to the election, you're going to need us here. We will not compromise. We will not. I'll go to jail before I will, and you all know that. And so I need at least right now tonight two more people to pledge 1,000. So go ahead, Lord, Joe, and ask for that.
Dear Lord, we know there are many people out there listening. Many have never donated to something like this. And we ask you to reach out and touch the hearts of the listeners, if it be thy will, Lord, that there are people out there that you've blessed with certain abilities, talents, and that they would have the money to pull us out of this situation, that they would be able to make a donation far easier than many of our listeners can afford a $20 donation. And that, Lord, that you would just touch hearts, and that these people would realize that we are being the watchman on the wall for your people. We are trying to spread to be the truth tellers, warn the people, and that, Lord, that these people would just wake up and realize how critical things are, and that this is one of the means that the enemy cannot touch. They cannot stop us. They cannot shut us down. As long as those who are listening keep us on the air and help pay the radio bills. So, Lord, if it be thy will, we ask you to find and touch the hearts of those out there who can help. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Oh, man, Joe, you know, coming up on September 11th, 9/11, we're asking, and I was asked to head this up nationwide. We're asking pastors and leaders. Now, in our last newsletter, we sent out a flyer, and we're asking you folks out there that we receive the newsletter, you receive that flyer, that you would take that flyer to your pastor of your church and ask him, look, join us on Sunday, September 11th, and preach a message, preach the message of one, repentance. Repentance is extremely necessary for prayer and fasting and revival, that we have revival in America. Listen, our country is in very, very bad shape. We're in dire shape. And if we don't stand and fight back, you've got every corrupt agency, every dark side out there against us. Folks, you need to stand together now. And God will, 2 Chronicles 7:14 makes it very clear. If you repent, God hears your prayers. If his people all across this country are repenting and calling upon his name, he has no problem at all overthrowing this tyrannical, very corrupt deep state. And we need to restore America back to one nation under God. So folks, make sure you take that and take it to your pastor and tell him, will you preach a message on repentance and prayer, fasting, and revival on Sunday, 9/11, September 11th. All right, folks, we're still a couple short. We need a couple. We just need two people. You know, there's people out there, Joe, not 2,000, but people out there that could easily sit down and write a check for 200,000. And to help us continue to keep the message going as long as we can and keep warning people. Steve Bannon drops a truth bomb, Joe, on the grand old party. What we've been saying for a long, long time. Voters are done with ancient regime of the Republican Party. Here, and we're talking about people like Liz Cheney. And here, the good news tonight was Liz, Liz lost her election?
Oh, it was she concedes early because it was the results are so overwhelming.
And so in Alaska, Sarah Palin is on the ballot for the open seat of Steve Bannon. I guess they have an open seat in Alaska. Sarah Palin will be a good one. The McCains, the Bushes, the Cheneys have been soundly rejected by the base Republican voters this past year. And again, we really need to get Trump back.
Right.
We've got to get Trump back in office.
Contending for that vacant, there's a vacant congressional seat, and she's running. And so far, they haven't been able to see anything where they've got results yet.
For Congress or for the Senate?
What?
I thought that was the Senate she was running. There was a vacant seat.
No, Trump is. It says for Congress.
Oh, okay.
Congressional seat.
Well, she would be a good one. She was a great governor. I'd like to see her back as a governor there.
She's spunky enough. You know, we were just a little while ago, I mentioned Manchin, how he came out and actually, well, this really won't help inflation.
Didn't I tell you he was going to pull that? He's done that time and time in past. He holds out to get what he wants. But this time, what he did was going to hurt his state of West Virginia.
Well, it's going to give him some benefits, but in the long run, it'll hurt. But Barack Obama went back and did some digging. Chuck Schumer, quote from Barack Obama, Chuck Schumer, the two of them said the same thing. The last thing you do is raise taxes in the middle of a recession. Chuck Schumer also said you do not raise taxes on the middle class. They both, back a few years back, the last thing you do is raise taxes in the middle of a recession. We are in a recession. I just got done quoting the European governments. We are the worst performer of the whole G7. That's Italy, France, Canada, you name it. And so here we are. We had those big Democratic leaders, and now they're both, bragging about this Inflation Reduction Act that's raising taxes in the middle of a recession. So is that hypocrisy? I guess it's just you lie when it's convenient, and just because you say something one day doesn't make it true the next, right? So it's only good for what, maybe a few weeks at a time, whatever you say?
Yep.
That must be the way they play the game. Well, God's word is what? The same every day eternally. Truth is to be an eternal truth, not just something that changes with the wind, that changes with the, how you feel that particular morning. And we have to understand this is a spiritual battle. These people on the other side represent the Antichrist system. They are against God, family, and country. They want to create a new, remember Barack Obama, the total transformation of America. They want to change us from a constitutional republic where rights come from God to a socialist communist state where rights come from the powerful elite who think they know how to run your life better than you do. That's what's at stake, and it's your children and grandchildren's future that's at stake. You better get mad. You better get involved. You better run to this battle, or you will regret to your dying day that you didn't do your part to stop this revolution that they're trying to bring about on this nation.
Joe, here's an article I got. This is from Savannah Hernandez in Texas. She's a reporter, and here's what she wrote. When I found her, she had 3 condoms left in a box of 15. Pretty much, the coyotes did what they wanted with her, and she was only 11 years old. And that was by a guardsman, a National Guardsman. An exclusive sit-down interview with active members of the National Guard has gone on record against Joe Biden sharing American is probably the weakest it's ever been, from harrowing stories of finding mutilated bodies at the border to the cartel shooting at our service members. The border has gotten so bad that the National Guardsman was willing to risk his career to speak out. Well, it's going to get, and this is why we're here telling people, this is why we need to continue to let people know they've got to stand up. They've got to stand their ground. Remember, resistance to tyranny is always obedience to God.
Obedience to God.
Freedom isn't free.
The truth is painful, but you must know the truth. If you don't know the truth, you won't know what to do, who to fight, you know, what to pray for. You've got to know the truth, no matter if it's unpleasant, folks.
We're still hoping that we've got about 4 minutes left, and then we're going to be around for another 5 minutes or so after the program. Pardon? Okay. So we're going to need... Wait a minute. Here it comes in now. Let me take a look. Okay. All right. So... we're going to need about, we're down to 2,500. We need 2,500? Yeah. I guess that's the amount.
Yeah.
So, there you go, folks. Wow. We only have about 3 minutes left. We need 2,500 before, in the next 3 minutes. But we will be here in about for another 5 minutes after the program. We're still looking for, I could use those 2, and it would be better to have 3. Match those $1,000 pledges. We're 6 people with 500, but we're going to be here. And just ask the question, have we always told you the truth? And you know, this is, it's getting tough, especially the summertime. It's really getting rougher and rougher. I know because the price of everything's out there, going up out there today, and they're destroying this country. We've got to get Trump back in office. We've got to get the Democrats out of office, but folks, they know what's going to happen. And here, in fact, let me just give you an article here. And this article here talks about a plan that the Democratic Communist Party has. Where'd it go with the article? Maybe I've got it over here. Okay. Heads up. FBI, media, and allies are now laying ground for a dirty bomb false flag incident that will be blamed on Trump supporters. This is by J.D. Hayes. There's a number of FBI whistleblowers that are coming out, and they're telling what they know. And again, the FBI has become totally, totally corrupted. It has become totally corrupted. Praise God for the few decent people still in there that are blowing the whistle. All right, wait a minute. We've got Jen in, let's see. Did I do Celeste in Michigan yet? 100, and Jen in Missouri pledges 1,300.
All right.
There you go.
I would just saw something. Here's what the enemy thinks of you out there to our listeners. Democratic advisor, his name is Kurt Bardella. He is a DNC advisor, and he has come out on the readout program, MSNBC's readout, guest host Tiffany Cross, and he insists that GOP is basically a domestic terrorist cell operating in America. Those of us who believe in God, believe in the Constitution, believe in the rule of law, want rights and freedoms that come from God, that want to be under the rule of a good law, he is coming out and screaming that we are the domestic terrorists in America. This is what the enemy is trying to convince the world, that the Christians are the enemy, we're the terrorists. We want to take away the freedoms of people.
All right, Joe.
The opposite.
Joe, you've got 3 minutes to give an invitation, and folks, we'll be here about 5 minutes after we get off the air. We'll still take some calls. We definitely got to go. So, Joe, you've got 3 minutes. Do it quickly.
I will. In Colossians chapter 1, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. 2 Corinthians tells us, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, Jesus who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God sent his only begotten Son, that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But to do that, we have to do a simple thing. It may be a hard thing. It's simple. We have to repent of our sins, truly in our heart. Not just mumble words, but repent that our sins placed Jesus Christ on that cross at Calvary, that he died that substitutionary death to set us free, that we could call upon the Father, that we could ask forgiveness of those sins and be forgiven, and then we call upon Jesus to be Lord, our Lord of our life, our Master, that we give ourselves to him completely without reservation, that we want to become a child of the kingdom, a son of the living God, a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life, and we ask him to come into our hearts, and he will send us the down payment on our eternal life. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit will come and live within us and help us. We will become this new creation. And you will find joy and happiness and peace that you have never, ever known when this happens to you. It's being called being born again, but you become then a child of the kingdom, a child of God himself. And only you can do it. You have to accept Christ's offer. You have to go to him, to the Father, for forgiveness. It's simple, but you have to be willing to give yourself.
Okay, Joe, we're out of time. I thank you. I want to say good Mary Grace. Thank you. Pledged 125. Gene in Georgia, 500. Orlando pledged 200. And Stephen, Colorado, 75. And good night. God bless. And always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.